Welcome to Being, the podcast that brings the hive alive.
Wonderful to see you, Jesse.
Wonderful to see you too.
We have a special guest here today.
Welcome to Shiawitz.
Thank you. Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
That's great. Great to have you here. This is our second episode. We're really excited about some positive feedback we've gotten from that first episode. And we are, it's exciting to start out here. But Jesse, I think before we begin and talk a little bit about our subject of the day, it's important to acknowledge that today we're recording this the first day that we are back from the Sukkot break. And as mandated or as suggested perhaps by the Israeli government, Kaftalad Tishrei, today is the day of national commemoration for the tragedy, the horror, the loss of life on October 7th. And we did that earlier today in school. And while at the same time, we had to also acknowledge it was our first day back at school since the 20 hostages were released, which was incredible joy and incredible simcha. So balancing those two things together was an acrobatic task, but one that we really tried to pull off. What did you think about the program today, Jesse?
I actually thought it was excellent. Obviously, I'm generally supportive of the SAR programming. I thought today that was like particularly strong. You had a lot of like wonderful student speakers, as well as like teachers that read like beautiful poetry, and then a soldier who was incredible. I thought it was just like smooth and like got every point across and really seemed to manage to balance the happiness with also the obvious sadness. Mm-hmm. The songs that we sung felt like they were the perfect amount of excitement and happiness that didn't feel like over exaggerated, and it didn't feel like it was not like making light of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also thought, the student who spoke was extraordinary.
Phenomenal.
Just to people know, we have a student here who was in Otef Aza, from Otef Aza, who happened to have been in the north on October 7th, and she's here in school now. She spoke about the experience of losing friends, family, and loved ones. It was really, really very moving, and it was really powerful day. So I feel like before we get started, it's important to note that, and we're all like living with that as part of our experience today, which was a big thing, it was a heavy thing, while at the same time also being celebratory about the hostages who Baruch Hashem released. The first day in 2 years we did not say the Mishaberach L'Shvuyim, which was, sometimes you feel like it's one of those rare times when you feel like the absence of a tefillah felt like a very religious moment of relief, and it was very moving, very meaningful. So, that was just today, in the earlier part of the day. Let's talk about our subject today. Subject today is about religious guidance. And before we, talk with Ms. Shiawitz about her role, Jesse, I just want to ask you if you could briefly talk about you as a, you're a 12th grader now. Talk to us a little bit about your process of religious growth, religious guidance, the extent to which you have been on something of a journey over the past couple of years. Talk a little bit about how that's gone for you.
Yeah, so I think I'm a person who, a lot of my reflection comes individually, and this is not a bad thing, obviously, on either side, but I don't think I tend to be that much influenced by other people in a way that I internalize. I think I kind of will see things around me and then internalize it myself and therefore make decisions. I think one of the largest thing that has changed for me, I think I've my ability to make my own halachic decisions, I think, has really grown at SAR. And I'm very thankful that I've had that opportunity. And I think I've been provided with what I needed to make those decisions for myself, which I for instance, wearing tzitzit every day, which I didn't do at the start of freshman year and I now do every day. And I think what I've loved about it was that it never felt like someone, obviously that's part of dress code, but I'm saying there are other things that never felt like someone was like, oh, you should do this, you should do that, but gave me the opportunity to make that decision for myself, which I think always ends up having, when people make decisions for themselves, especially religiously, I think it's a much stronger decision that you sticks with you much stronger and you feel it much more.
Mm, that's very interesting. I want to dive a little bit deeper into that. But we'll do that in just a moment. I'm going to put a little bit of a pin in that thing, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about our special guest here today.
Ms. Shiawitz, you have a new role at SAR, along with being a phenomenal Tanakh teacher, I will say.
Do you have Ms. Shiawitz as a Tanakh teacher?
I have Ms. Shiawitz this year.
Oh, wow. What a bonus. Wow, that's great.
That's pretty good.
Who's more? Both of you are very fortunate.
We are.
So your new role is called Mashkicha Ruchanit. Can you talk a little bit about that role, how you came into that?
Okay, I'm actually going to do with the second question first, how we came into it. So there are a few things that happened that helped formulate the role. One thing, Robert Kroll, that I remember you saying is that you said we want students to feel like SAR, we care about your religious growth as an individual. And we started discussing, do students feel that we care about an individual student's religious growth? And that's kind of been like something that I keep coming back to. Two other things that made me think about it are we have the VOD program. Do we need to should we describe, which is a group, which is a group meeting with weekly meeting with a teacher, and it's a bonding experience for the group that has a that has like kind of helps you be reflective about religious goals and relationship with Hashem, and it's a really powerful group experience. And the follow-up question to that always was, well, what about the individual? You know, we're bonding as a group, but everybody has different goals and people are moving in different directions, and how do we nurture the individual? The other model that I saw where an individual is really nurtured at SAR is in terms of college guidance, which starts in 10th grade, I think, is the first meeting.
End of 10th grade,
right? Like, what are your goals? What am I moving towards? And then helps you center for the next few years, figuring out where am I going to be after high school. And that felt like an important direction also for everybody's religious trajectory. You know, how do I think about my next stage?
It's interesting. One of the things that you know, brings to my mind is the question, the certain level, a parallel to college guidance is Israel guidance. And so I'm curious if you could talk a little bit about the extent to which your role overlaps with, influences Israel guidance. And also, I guess I'd say one of the things I think is, I'd say just is noteworthy about the college guidance process is that at the end of the day, they're really, it is very kind of a functional. It has a goal of getting a kid into the college that they want to go to, figuring out what college they want to go to, and achieving that goal. It's very goal-oriented. And I guess I'm curious the extent to which this allows for kind of goal orientation like that, or this does not allow for that, and how you go about the whole process.
If I could just add also, I think a key difference in both between like academic growth and religious growth is that academic growth, there is like, I think more of an idea. There's like a top of like what you're trying to accomplish. Like you want your best grades as you can put out there, and like you want to feel more proud of yourself and like a more objective level, versus religious growth is going to look completely different for every person. Mm-hmm. I think there's less of a sense of, oh, this person succeeded religiously, this person did not succeed religiously. And I think that comes into play with the yeshiva process and the seminary process, because it's not, there isn't a view just like, oh, everyone wants to go here, and then if I can't get in there, I'll go somewhere else. It's like, oh, I want to go there, and that person wants to go there. It doesn't mean that there's like someone accomplished more. Mm-hmm.
Which you're saying in terms of Israel, would you not say that in terms of college, though, in terms of admissions?
No, I'm saying more, I think, with college and admissions, there's more of a, like, I think there's some schools that are considered like the top schools that the kids with like who work the hardest get into, versus with yeshivas and seminaries. I can speak more about yeshivas personally, but I don't think it's as much like, I think it's more individualized, and I think generally religious growth in high school is much more individualized, and I think it's, there isn't the same person everyone's working to be the way that there is kind of, I think, with academics.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
Yeah, please. So first of all, I wanted to say there's a lot of differences there. I agree with religious guidance. Israel guidance is a practical process also at its core. You know, where do you want to, you know, what are you thinking about? What are your goals? How can we best meet those goals, and how can we help you do that? So in that sense, there is a lot of alignment with college guidance in the, you know, there's a result that we're looking for. I think the difference here, the piece that I liked about the college guidance process is that those conversations, even though they are practical conversations, they started so early. And there was a bigger sense, and maybe I'm idealizing this because I've never gone through this college guidance process, but that, you know, kind of what are you looking for? And thinking about that at the end of 10th grade is, I think, a really interesting question. So the alignment there with religious guidance is not in the sense of like there's a one, you know, there's an ideal model. Listen, I don't think college guidance really should be like that either.
Yeah. I think college. I think I'm pretty sure college guidance would also bristle.
It's
like they also are looking for, like, you know, to find the kid, each kid that the places that is the best match for. But yeah, I agree. We understand what you're saying.
Yes.
Like, if you're a superstar student, you want to go to a superstar college. That is the expectation.
I don't want to suggest that, like, there's like there's a ranking of colleges, because there definitely isn't, and there are a lot of colleges that people can get into that they don't want to go to. But mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit different in the sense that there's more of, like, if you work this hard, you
– Totally. Know. But there's a piece of the early conversation, like, kind of on the brink of, like, finishing 10th grade, going into 11th and 12th grade, and, like, hey, what do I want? Like, I've done a lot of things because people told me to do it, and maybe I haven't done some of the, you know, and now it's like, but what do I want? Not just, like, what do I want to receive, but who do I want to be? Mm. And in that case, I would say – it's a totally individual journey. You know, there's no one size fits all. Like, and there's no vision of, you know, kind of.
Tell us a little bit about, one of the things I know you've been working on. You have a whole team of people on religious guidance staff who are working with you. I know you're meeting with individuals. Tell us a little bit about what's been going on with 11th graders. Mm. Anything that has been surprising? Anything, like, interesting that we think people would be curious about?
So, okay, we have a great team of teachers who are meeting with 11th grade students, and these are individual meetings. Let's just give them a shout out. Rev Sam, Rev Michael, Rev Ellie, Rev Ben, Ms. Sam, Ms. Shafransky.
You got it.
Okay. What we've been doing is we've been meeting with each junior individually, and it is a totally open, you know, non-judgmental conversation. The whole idea of it is just like, tell me where you're at. Like, what's been happening? What are you thinking about? And part of that is also like, what are your goals? You know, when there's everybody will set different goals because everybody is a different person. But it's like, what are you aspiring towards? Or even just what's on your mind? And by the way, the conversations also can be light. They don't have to be so heavy. The conversation is just like, you know, what's going on? I want to get to know you better. And I'm a place that you could come back to.
So that makes me I'll get back to where I said we put a pin in something you had said previously. You get back to that. I'm curious but both of you think about the question, sort of the issue that Jesse raised. Jesse described himself as being much more of, you know, he's sort of will be a little introspective, think about the thing himself, make a decision, figure out what he'd like to do, and might not like the idea of some, like, you know, I don't know, religious guidance figure or some teacher telling him what you're supposed to do. That might kind of be counterproductive. You feel a little bit like doing something at your own pace because you want to do it has worked for you, and it may not have worked if somebody was being a little more overt or direct. I'm actually curious – the extent to which you think that's true generally, is that different for each kid? And how do you then balance on the one hand, wanting to tell kids, I believe that there's a value that the school believes in. We are an unapologetically modern Orthodox institution which holds ourselves
co-educational.
You know the mission statement. SAR High School is a co-educational modern Orthodox community of learners dedicated to. So there's a real question in there, a little tension. On the one hand, I want to tell people this is what we believe in, and I don't want to sound so like manipulative or controlling or all those negative words, but I also don't want to be like, hey, I'm okay, you're okay, everything's fine. Like, I want to tell you what we think. There are certain objective things here that we think are true and good, and we really hope you'll buy into. And I want you to know what those things are. But I also want you to know that, I'll say this, if a kid ends up, you know, not every single kid, you know, ends up, buying into 100% with the school or their parents.
Yeah.
I'd want that kid to know I still care about them, respect them, love them, and all that stuff. I don't want them to feel that they are
a failure or
not valued. But there are like poster children, or there are people who are kind of like doing what the school would want them to do more than somebody. I don't know how to sort of like balance those two things.
So if I also could just add on, I think just a combination of those two points, your previous comment, Shaiwitz, and also then Rabbi Cole, your question just now, I think it's also interesting because you have these religious advisors. And by the way, I don't mean to say also that I have never had people that have influenced me religiously. I think I just haven't really had individually, like, I haven't had people that have like told me what to do and I've been like, okay, great, I'm gonna just listen to that and move on. I think though you have individuals who, and like I also speak for more like the four rabbis on that side. They're not all the same in a lot of ways. They all have like personality differences, like hashkafic differences. And I think a lot of those hashkafic differences also are hashkafically different than the school, right? Which makes sense because no individuals are going to fully really align with an institution's values because institutions are separate from individuals. And I also want to add, like, I was wondering, Mishawitz, if you could say something about how much you want the individual teacher to influence someone versus how much you want the school's values to influence someone. Because a kid's not having a conversation with the SAR mission statement or the Machon Siach, like curriculum. They're having a conversation with an individual teacher who might be speaking based on what they've been taught by the school and what they've come to understand by the school, but they will have their own views and opinions of both themselves and you. And right. Yeah.
For sure. And you can't separate from that. At the same time, I'm just thinking about like the word influence.
Yeah.
You know, that's not actually the goal of these meetings. When I think, you know, it sounds take a step back. Before all the teachers that are part of this group, we had a group last year about it, having individual religious conversations with students. And
a professional development group.
A professional development group. And one of the first things we did was we read an article, totally recommend it, by Rabbi Harkstark. And it was in one of the Orthodox Forum books about authority versus autonomy. And it's a beautiful article about the tension between, you know, not wanting to be too top-down and wanting students to have their autonomy and their individual journey, but on the other hand, not wanting what we're saying, students to feel like, yeah, nobody cares.
We want kids to freely choose what we want them to choose.
Exactly.
You gotta say it.
And we spoke a lot about that last year. And what's been interesting to me, you asked me before about what's been surprising, is that I haven't found that tension to be as much of an issue as I thought it was going to be, because the conversations are really not about influencing. You know, that when I'm meeting with a student, I have a vision of what I want them to get to, and I'm going to share it with them, and they should hopefully get on board. That's not at all what these conversations are. They're really open conversations about, let me just get to know you, and let me share, you know, let's talk about, like, what you're thinking about and what your goals might be. I think I could have that conversation personally with any number of people. I could have that with anyone here in the room right now, including you, Greg. And we could talk about
it. Shout out to our sound engineer.
Shout out to Greg.
Greg Schmidt. All this happening. Great job, Greg.
That, you know, so I don't think the hashgufic issue, in a sense, like, obviously, you know, if people felt that their hashgufa was so, in terms of the teachers, was very prominent and they were trying to bring that out, then that wouldn't be the right fit, actually, for this program.
I'm curious. Can you, you know, to a certain extent, I think one of the things that I, you know, wonder about is, like, the idea of having, you know, somebody who's the mashgicha ruchanit, that I know you were a little bit, you're not one for titles.
It's not just, it's that title.
That title.
You could give me other titles if you want.
What would you like?
I'll be the CEO. I didn't know.
CEO. Let me see. Oh, you got it. But not just the title, the existence of a religious guidance program, does it smack a little bit of like a kiruv operation? And I guess I'm curious the extent to which that's a legitimate kind of concern. Is that actually a concern? Maybe it's a good thing. I mean, to a certain extent, I would say, if you told me one of the goals of our school should be to have kids feel a closer connection to their Judaism.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, kiruv operation has something of a negative connotation. It's very pejorative. But, you know, take a step back. You know, I'd hope that I would feel more karov to my Judaism, and I don't want somebody to be mikarev me, but I'd like to be more karov.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm, you know, talk a little bit about that tension, perhaps, between running a kiruv operation, which sounds like you're treating kids as like objects that we want to turn into something.
I don't have individual religious thoughts.
Versus, like, actually, if facilitating kids being more karov. Is that, when I say facilitating kids being more karov, is that actually just a, like, you know, a more polite way of saying a kirov operation? Or is there actually a distinction there?
Nah, I think there's really a distinction.
Okay.
It's like also like, who's at the center? Mm-hmm. You know, is the person, you know, the makariv, the person like facilitating, is that person and their goals at the center? Or is the student, you know, at the center? And if the student's at the center, that's not only because they're going to be the ones who are going to execute the results. That's also because it's all about what they want. It's in their hands. And by the way, I also want to say, not everyone has to do this. Like, this isn't like, you know, if somebody says, I do not want to have a conversation, I don't, you know, I, you will not be forced. Let's just state that right here. But I think knowing this piece, that the goal of the conversation is to, for you, the, you know, meaning the, like the person, the student, to get a chance to reflect and think about what their individual goals are from somebody who cares about them, is supportive, and would love to kind of help them think about it. That takes away that piece of like, we're each trying to achieve a result. We're trying to just facilitate individual thought and reflection.
Have you been, how have kids generally in the 11th grade kind of responded to the initiative?
So we've got, you know, kids have signed up to meet, and it's been really nice. Actually, one thing I was worried about was that, what about students I never even knew before? And what would that be like? Like this whole awkward, like, oh, let's sit down and now, you know. And it's funny that it hasn't been like that, you know, because it's kind of like we let, you know, obviously you have to have some warm-up questions, you know, in your pocket. But this, you know, we just – it's sitting and talking to another person, you know, which
– it's interesting. Like I didn't really think about this so much before, but now as you're talking, I'm thinking about it a little bit more. I've always kind of felt that – a lot. It's not to describe everybody, but for many kids, a reason why they may not sort of buy into the schools or their parents' values many times has less to do with theological sort of debates and, you know, sort of a complex, you know, ideological difficulties. It has much more, for many kids, not everybody, to do with the sense of alienation and to not feeling seen or known and not feeling like they matter to people who are either their parents or, let's be honest, like to a certain extent, you, whether we like it or not, you and I are religious role models for kids in our school. And, you know, so to a certain extent, I feel like what leads kids towards a greater interest in religious growth and development is that connection and lack of alienation, as opposed to it being like, let's sit down and talk about, like, you know, like, give me proofs for God's existence. Like, that's not what's coming up. Am I right about that?
Yeah, and I think there's room here for people to take it where they want. Mm-hmm. Are there some students who might sit down and say, that's what I want to talk about? Sure, but I agree with you that that is a minority.
Mm-hmm.
When you go back to why I didn't like the title, because mashgiach, first of all, I think about like in kashrut, right? Like the mashgiach is like watching to make
you better
sure
make sure
everything's like, kosher.
Yeah. You're treif right now.
Right. That's like the opposite of what this is. It's like this sort of supervision.
Yes.
I actually think maybe like makshiva.
Oh, yeah.
Honey,
makshiva.
Listen to
that's like, that'd be just like a little too SAR-y.
It's too SAR. See, the problem is that the best titles would get so many eye rolls. It's just not worth it.
Although, I got to tell you, makshiva ruchanit.
Right?
Loving it.
Okay. And it's not even AI.
If I can just shift to the conversation on the same topic, but I was thinking a little bit about two different things that are like connected. That number one, we were talking about the Kirov operation. I think, though, there are SARs, the values of the school that are like, it's a modern Orthodox school, but SAR is also a think tank in a way that many and most other modern Orthodox counterparts are not. And SAR has, I think, has objectives that are not just become as from as possible. Even the word from is a little weird. But not like, you're not saying to like all the students at SAR, like, we want you to become Haredi, which I think there are a lot of modern Orthodox high schools that are effectively doing. And can you talk about what it means to have to both want kids to be more connected religiously, want them to get to that place, but also still align with the hashkafa of SAR in a way that's really meaningful and not just get as from as possible. And just one other thing I think connected to that is the yeshiva and seminary process, because I do think there are obviously are not yeshivas and sems that are SARs, because it's not how it works. There's some that are tend to be more aligned with SAR, but sending kids to places that are kind of more on the, like, on both sides, on the more like Haredi side, and in a way that, like, maybe they're not as Zionist as SAR, and how does that play out? So that was a loaded question. Sorry.
Yes, a lot of stuff in there.
But
I'm happy to start.
You start, I'll break it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of things. Those are all really great questions. First of all, I do want to say that a student from SAR High School who graduates and chooses to be dedicated to Torah learning and decides they want to be more to the right of where we are hashkafically, but has a respect for where they came from and understands who we are and appreciates who we are, I'm fine with that. In other words, I don't see our school as creating a bunch of replicas of the people who, let's say, we hold on staff as being like, you know, kind of, you know, encapsulating or, you know, personifying SAR's mission statement. People are individuals, and they're going to choose to make decisions because there might be social reasons, might be hashkafic reasons. Excuse me. They have reasons why they're going to choose. If a student chooses to, you know, live that more Haredi lifestyle, would I see that as a failure of a school? No, I don't see it as a failure. School, you're dedicated to Torah, dedicated to mitzvah, you want to dedicate to Jewish people. You're your own decision maker. I would be upset if they thought that we were treif. That does, you know, that I don't like.
Yeah.
And I would hope that their experience at school would be one in which they would understand the value and the wisdom of that which we're trying to do here. So again, that being said, of course, I would love it if everybody was a wonderful, perfectly, you know, presented, you know, SAR mission statement, you know, idealized in perfect form. It's not going to happen. Actually, you know what? Yeah, I wouldn't want everybody to be like that.
Yeah,
people are different, and they're going to grow in different ways. And I'd be happy if there are people who choose different kind of paths. But I do think it's important to say that there are certain things that we as a school believe that are ideal. Like if you mentioned the thing about Zionism, like that comes up all the time. Like we are a strongly, you know, religious Zionist school. And you're right. When it comes down to yeshivas in Israel, there are some yeshivas or seminaries that our kids go to where they hear very different messages about the religious value of the state of Israel than what we're sending here, when we're staying here. It's true.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, I think it's important that buyer beware, understand what it is that we're that's happening. And I hope that our students will have got a strong enough education here to be able to challenge that which I think is not of the values that they think are right, and to be able to think independently and critically.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree.
Oh, good.
I mean, just on a personal level, I'm personally just not so tied up in hashkafa. Like, I just don't care so much about hashkafa.
Yeah.
That being said, there are things that I care about. So I do care about Zionism. I do care about, you know, women's learning, things like that. But I just think that we're not trying to create monolithic people. Like, we care about our principles, and I think we need to do a good job really explaining why we believe the things that we believe are so important. I think also part of respecting a person and a family's autonomy is supporting the decision that they make with all the knowledge that we want to share. But I also think that, yes, like if somebody was asked to really, like, you know, renounce like certain things that we believe in, yeah, I'd have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But I also hope that, you know, A, there will be a certain degree of flexibility for the student and that we taught them well, like what we care about and why we care about it. So I think people have to choose. I really do agree. People have to choose their own path.
Yeah. I do think, like,
I guess I would say, let me get a little more provocative, if I may.
May I? You may.
I guess I'd say like this. Like, what would you say if you had a graduate school, you know, nice kid, wonderful kid, learned nicely in SAR, and after graduation, they considered what they'd like to do is, things move in whatever direction they move, for whatever kind of reasons they move in that direction. And you have a student who you learn with very nicely in your classes, and you find out that she's also got married, wonderful life, and she has decided she doesn't think SAR's Hashkafa is the proper Hashkafa. She doesn't think the modern Orthodox world is the world that she thinks will be best for her family. She's decided that she'd like to live in a more, a little more Haredi environment. And she'll even say, like, I don't think that there's value in my own children learning, let's say, Torah Shabbat Peh at a high level or learn Torah Shabbat Peh at all. I think that that's not what I want my kids to do. What would you think about that? Like, that sort of trajectory of religious growth.
I mean, first of all, would you say, like, what do I have to say about what someone else chooses down the line?
Right.
Like, people are going to make their own choices. It's not – if that person wanted to have a conversation about why I believe that those things are important, I would be very happy to explain the importance.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think that part of people is that – people are going to make their own decisions, and we share what we want to share, what we can, why we believe what we believe, and then we also respect the individual to make the choices that they're going to make. I also think even if we didn't believe that, which I think we both do, it doesn't work. Like, meaning, let's say we said we wanted to control the outcome of everybody that they
– It
doesn't work because people don't want to be controlled. And not only that, if people think you want to control them – then right away they're going to push back.
Yeah.
So I
presented that – before you go to this question, I presented it from like one side, like say somebody moving more to the right. Say the same kind of thing would be somebody who chooses – again, I really hope that they don't go this path, that somebody may choose to not follow the path that their parents set for them and not follow the path that the SAR set for them. I wouldn't be – proud of that. I wouldn't invite them to speak at the open house. But I would hope that they would respect what they learned here and they'd want to kind of grow and experience their time here at SAR as one that respected them and like gave them real knowledge. Like, but you're right. At the end of the day, I hope I said it like a little tongue in cheek, but I actually kind of mean it. I really hope the kids will willingly choose what we want them to choose. But I also recognize at the end of the day, people are human individuals, v'charta b'chayim, and everything is your own choice, and there is free will, and included in free will is the free will to do
right there.
Exactly what you want. You go forward to the right, more to the left. And like, I hope you'll value the education that we gave you here and understand what it is that we think is really important.
I would just say – just add one thing to that, which is that I also hope that our students know that the door is always open.
Yeah.
Meaning this is not a relationship that we think about as it closes at that exact – you walk out the door, you graduate, you're done. This is an – we're all people. We're all changing all the time. We are changing all the time, the adults here also. So it's an open door to continue the journey. I never want to judge a person because I don't want to be judged like this in one moment of time.
Mm-hmm.
People are – life is a long journey.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of thought that a lot of teenagers have from Orthodox high schools of like, I'm going to wait. Like, I'm going to have fun in high school. I'm going to wait. And I feel kind of weird saying that given that I'm a senior in high school, like doesn't know how my life's going to turn out. So it's – I'm not like this like expert on religious growth. Or the principal of SAR, but
– Oh, by the way, I'm not an expert on religious growth.
I mean,
he is the principal of SAR.
Yeah, that
he is.
And you are the Mashkicha Ruchanit. As of now, you might be the Makshiva Ruchanit tomorrow.
I'm neither a Mashkicha Ruchanit or a principal. And I think there are a lot of kids who have like a mindset that like I'll get to yeshiva and then figure it out from there. But I think that is kind of both like counterintuitive because it doesn't really make sense to just like wait. But also – it kind of means that people don't they don't take in like what SAR actually has to offer. And I also think there are a lot of kids that because SAR tends to be to the left of some other yeshiva high school specifically, I think people are like, oh, this is, there are some kids who I think have the thought of like, oh, it's not a serious place. I'm going to actually wait till I get to yeshiva. But how do you think SAR can both say that we are a place that really genuinely cares about halacha and really like wants you to turn into like a halachic observant Jew, like all the teachers, like most of the teachers here. But we also have a way that we want people to be. Did you get
that? The way that, could you say the last part again? The way
you,
that
you also, you don't, it's, I think there's a balance between like making sure people view the school as serious mm-hmm. and also being unique, because SAR is very unique.
Yeah.
And yeah. not just having kids wait till yeshiva or a seminary to really like take that yeah. religious jump.
That, I mean, I want to just jump in on that and say like, I find it, I think the phenomenon you're describing exists, but I also think that there are many, many, many kids, I guess yourself included, who have had profound religious growth over their 4 years of high school. And, you know, I don't think that the phenomenon is as prevalent as sometimes people like to think, that I'm just going to be a crazy party animal throughout all of my life. I'm not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. It's that sort of like, you know, I think it's a false sort of binary. That you either this or that. It's like someone once said, I once heard this metaphor, but I think it's much more apt for religious growth as opposed to being like a light switch. It's like a dimmer. You know, turning things, the dial spins a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like, it's not, you're not either this or you're that in high school. You're like, people aren't. And I think there is a lot of religious growth. And that being said, I think there's a deep value in taking it to the next level when you go to Israel for the year. Going to Israel for the year is, we have a very high percent of our kids, around 90% go to Israel for the year. We like that. We think it's yeah. great. We think it's an opportunity that really for the vast majority of our kids should really be that which is pursued. And so, you know, I don't know. That's what, go ahead.
I'll just add to that. So it's, I mean, not add to that, but like say kind of a different perspective. I was someone in high school who was kind of like, I'll just wait till I go to Israel. And I actually like look back and regret like a lot of opportunities that I really missed in high school. And it doesn't mean you can't like, you know, every day is a new day. But I actually think I let a lot of things like slip through my fingers, you know, thinking like, I'll wait. And some of that was just immaturity where, you know, I had to grow up a little bit. But some of it was, I don't know, I just think there's ways to make it more overt, like step in right now, just to you got this. And I actually think, I hope that this program could be part of that. Say like, hey, where are you at? What do you want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, use high school. Like, don't just wait. I do think, by the way, from talking to our alum, like who have gone, let's say, more to the right, I think that they do respect like a lot of things that they got from SAR. I don't see as much of this phenomenon of like, I reject everything
that
I got
from SAR. That was terrible for me. I'm like, there's none of that.
I don't see that so much. Like, there are people who say, I choose a different route, or that wasn't helpful to me. I want to do it this way. I want to do it this way with my kids. But I'm not finding that they reject everything that they got from SAR.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's right.
Have you received any like significant parent feedback on any of this? Obviously, this is still the start of the program. Zero. Because I think parent perspectives are interesting. Because I think overall, kids, I don't think are that far from their parents, even if they have like slight differences here and there. But I think kids tend to reflect their parents pretty significantly. And even though parents tend to be more intentional, I think, with their halachic decisions than teenagers are, so I think it would be interesting to see how parents like receive this, because I think they probably would welcome it more.
Yeah, I think that – and I'm just going to go back to what I said before about the lack of alienation and the deeper connections. Parents, whether you are a – parent who's more to the right, or parent more to the left, parent more in the middle, wherever you are on a spectrum of Frumkeit of religious observance, parents want their kids to feel connected.
Yeah.
And they trust, generally, I believe parents trust that the school will build on those connections in ways that are healthy for their own kids, knowing them as individuals. And so this is, again, I kind of asked the question of something of a straw man before, as the Kiruv organization. I don't think people really see us as being Mikarev, wayward children to come on to. They want – parents want and kids want to feel a sense of connection. They value the school. They believe in the values of the school. And the more they can feel connected and seen as individuals, the more they're going to want to identify with what the school stands for.
Yeah, and I know the beauty of high school is that they go home at the end of the day, and we want students to talk to their parents about thoughts and conversations that they're having. This is a process where we're all partners.
Yeah.
Ms. Shiwitz, just to close, what's one message you want kids and parents like to understand from both this podcast episode and generally about your role of religious guidance and the general religious guidance program at SAR and growth here?
Yes, I would say in general about religious guidance that it is, you know, individual. It's not like trying to get anybody into a certain mold or a certain box. We just want to help nurture students to think about what their own goals are and be a resource to help you get there.
Well, thank you very much, Makshiva Ruchani, for this.
You see, we talked so much about this title, we figured it out right here.
Yes, that was really great. I really appreciate your thoughtfulness and your creativity.
They can be Makshiva.
Yes, I hope that our listeners, I hope that our listeners will be Makshiv to this podcast.
In general, everything is about Lakshiv.
Lakshiv, yes.
Just call the school.
Yeah, Hakshava. Okay, very good. So, Jesse, it's been a pleasure chatting with you again. Here we are in our second episode of Being, the SAR podcast that brings the hive alive. Ms. Shiwitz, thank you very much for joining us. Jesse, it's been a pleasure.
Have a wonderful day.
A wonderful day.